Today's program has been brought to you by GreatBrewers.com, a social media marketing platform dedicated to promoting the world's great brewers and the beers they create. For more information, visit GreatBrewers.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, guys. Welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. There's a new theme song there, so we're getting into it.
Sounded like a marching band down there.
Hey. Yeah. It's October 9th, 2012. Jimmy Ludwig from the Happy Hour Guys. Nice to see you, buddy.
Nice to be here, man. Thanks
All
for
right.
having us.
We got quite a show tonight. We're sponsored by GreatBrewers.com. Thanks to them. Test your beer IQ with the Great Beer Test, and you can find out about Beer Cloud, a mobile app to help you locate your favorite beers. Go to GreatBrewers.com. We're also supported by the people at the Good Beer Seal, an association of 41 New York City beer bars. And one of the newer members is here tonight, Rev Dave Ciancio from Idle Hands. How are you, Rev?
I'm awesome, Jimmy. I've been wanting to come on this show a long time, so I'm pretty psyched to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, you worked your way in. Last year, you did a movie for the New York City Food Film Festival, and it was called, what, You Want to Be in the Good Beer Seal?
I mean, honestly, when we opened the bar, all the bars that are Good Beer Seal bars is where I was going to drink anyway. I thought, I want to own a bar like this. And so we opened the bar. There was already the aspiration that I want to do this. So then I think rightly after we opened, I called you and said, hey, I'm Rev. I own this bar. How do we become one? And you were like, I don't know. I don't do it anymore.
you do a lot of good beer things, and it's great to have you in the Good Beer Seal. We got Squigs, Justin Richardson, who's part of the Happy Hour Guys, but also a noted Broadway sketch artist?
Yeah, illustrator. Yeah, Robertson's the last name, but
Richardson.
It's not Richardson, you know. But I could be Richardson. No problem. But in addition to
that's why I can never find you on Facebook.
I know. It's like why haven't you friended me? I feel so left out. But in addition to working with the Happy Hour Guys, I do illustrate for the Broadway. I do a weekly column on Broadway.com and drawing the latest and greatest in the Broadway firmament. So yeah.
All right, so on this side, we've got guys carving beer, we've got bar owners. Then on the other side of the room, we actually have guys making the beer that we want to sell. We have, I'm going to pronounce your name, Paul Kretzer and Larry Goldstein from Spider Bite. You guys just won the New York Tap, the best brewery in New York State.
Woo-hoo!
And one of your early collaborators, Brian Strumke from Stillwater's here. Brian, say hi.
Hey, what's up?
Brian, what's the name of the bar in Baltimore that you just opened?
Of Love and Regret.
I can never remember that name.
I know.
Of Love and Regret.
Wow. Sounds like a song title. I like that.
All right. So, Jimmy, you're my co-host tonight because apparently you got a TV show coming out. Although you've had a TV show for like 2 years online.
We have. The Happy Hour Guys have been online. Actually, we started way back. I mean, we started putting up regular content in 2008. But we've had our run-ins with network television over the years. And I can't give you any real big details right at the moment, but it's happening again. They're coming to see us again. And you might just see something featuring myself and Mark Aldrich, who's the other original Happy Hour Guy, on a television network near you, a show specifically about craft beer.
So, craft beer.
Yeah.
Terrific. Let's talk about craft beer. So Paul, I'm going to talk to you first because you're the link between Spider Bite and Stillwater.
Right.
Tell me about the time you came into Jimmy's Number 43 to sell me Spider Bite.
Oh, actually, yeah, that was probably earlier this year since we've been around less than a year. I know I've met you at Cooperstown probably 2 or 3 years ago, and we've hung out many times. And in the meantime, I was trying to get some sales going for Spider Bite, and I think we didn't really know that we knew each other very well. But I came in trying to sell you, and then you saw me, and you're like, oh, wait.
I didn't know your last name, but I knew your face.
Yeah,
and I'd seen you working with Brian Strumke.
Yeah.
Go figure, you don't remember the name.
Yeah. Me and Brian have been homebrewing together since way before Spider Bite or Stillwater. Probably a few years before that, we were homebrewing together down in Baltimore.
Is that how you met?
Yeah, actually, yeah. Met through, like, the kind of, like, rate beer, like, the kind of Mid-Atlantic, like,
yeah, some
beer scene.
Beer meetups and some beer tastings down there in Baltimore. Yeah.
And he was the only homebrewer I would ever collaborate with. So I'm really weird like that. Mm-hmm. I don't work well with others.
Yeah. You're a unique guy, Brian, so you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, and actually...
Can I ask a question? Yeah. This is Jimmy over here. Can I ask a question? Now that you guys are talking about spider bite, does that mean we can open the growlers now?
Yeah, we probably should. I got an empty glass.
There's two Jimmys. I love that.
Yeah. What would you bring today from spider bite?
What do we got, Larry?
We have our new Russian Imperial Stout Boris the Spider and our eight-legged rye PA. It's a rye-based IPA.
Boris the Spider. I will be the voice of the beer for you.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Professional guys on the show tonight. It's pretty awesome. All right. And then Brian and Paul. So you guys worked for the Stillwater line before Spider Bite. You guys worked on some beers together. What are some of the beers in your line that Paul helped you make?
The namesake of my bar of Love and Regret. It's the first beer that, as a transient brewer, that I brewed actually in Belgium was a recipe that Paul and I kind of. I mean, it developed over time. It's gone through incarnations and such, but it was a beer I think we made like maybe 3 years prior.
The little guy
and.
I'm pouring some Boris right now. I just want you to know, and it's making me very, very happy.
It's pretty intense.
Yeah, man.
Rev, what kind of beers do you sell at Idle Hands? Do you ever have Stillwater or Spider Bite?
So it's funny. We only have 6 taps, which is incredibly difficult and frustrating when you like beer as much as I do and as much as our crowd does.
Thank you.
Yes. So the way we sort of source what we do is we book a weekly event on Wednesday nights with a different brewer. And they come in and they bring 5 different beers, and for $10 you get to taste all 5 plus a bourbon and order a tots. So when they come in with 5 beers and I got 6 lines, that kind of dictates what we pour. So
give me some of your Boris.
But it's all craft, no macros, local when possible. But honestly, any of these guys are invited. It basically I don't really care if you're making it for the right reason. You're making great beer. Book a Wednesday. Come on down. It'll be there.
Yes. And
so Larry, tell us about how Spider Bite got started. So you're the head brewer. Are you the owner also?
Yes. So I was living in Atlanta at the time, and I was homebrewing a lot, and we decided to open up a brew pub down there. And shortly after, we weren't happy with the laws the way they were down there, so we decided to move back up. We're from here, and we moved back to Long Island. And
so, who's your family or your partners? Or?
Yeah, moved up with my family. The rest of my family was already up here. So we went back probably 5 years ago, and I had known Paul for a while. He used to come down to beer tastings in Atlanta, and so we knew each other. And shortly after I moved back, we started homebrewing together as well, and that's when we just started forming the company.
The sounds of satisfaction from the other side of the room, that's Jimmy Ludwig tasting the Boris. Damn. This nice. Is really good. Nice. Thank you, man. Roasty, coffee, chocolatey goodness. Thank you.
It is good. And Rev, you're an active social media guy. Would you mind taking a picture of Larry and Brian and Paul? And we can Twitter it at @beer_sessions from @yeahman.
That was done about 2 minutes ago. So,
so he's on it. I knew you did. You can put a face to these guys.
And I think I was smiling really cheesily in the foreground.
Oh, yeah.
So we have a big group here. There's 7 of us in a room. Some of us, we all like beer. We all like good craft beer. Who wants to say anything about this beer?
Well, I'll start. I mean, this is like, I put get myself into trouble a lot because I just love big beer. I love beer that's got a lot of taste, a lot of layers, a lot of flavor. And,
a lot of alcohol.
No, that's a good thing, too.
That usually comes along with it.
It does sometimes. Come along with it, too. But I remember having it's interesting, and I will speak to you guys about this. I remember having a conversation with a brewer up in Vermont who said, when I brew a big beer, it's real easy to sometimes to hide things. Something goes wrong, sometimes you can kind of zhuzh it a little bit, and you can still come out with something because there's so much massive flavor coming at you. And I mean, I think I have a fairly well-developed palate. I don't taste anything, there's nothing been zhuzhed here. This is a really complete, very complex, flavorful beer. So congratulations, man. There's a lot going
thank
on
you.
Here.
Very nice.
Yeah. And Larry, so where do you brew your beer?
We, all the beer that we keg and bottle, we're doing up at Cooperstown Brewing. And then we do like 1-barrel batches for right now for festivals and pilot batches down on Long Island in Holbrook.
So at Cooperstown, do you actually go and supervise the brewing, or do you have a recipe and they make it for you?
We've only gone up a few times because of the distance, but we develop all the recipes down here and send them up. And and they brew them for us.
Great. Cool. And who's most actively involved with the brewing? Is that you, Larry, or is which you guys? It's Larry and it's Paul. Tell us what you guys do.
When we're doing our little test batches here on Long Island, you know, we're doing like a little bit less than one barrel system. Almost all the time, we're working together on formulating the recipes a few days beforehand, and we're always together while we're brewing it. So we're always doing everything as a collaboration, I would say.
And then when we usually brew a batch, we'll split it up into different yeast, different hops, so we could experiment per batch.
Right. Yeah, and I just want to say that the Boris just came out last week, and we've made it a couple times last year, and I'm already smelling and tasting it. It smells really good. It's about what it was last year. It's definitely fresh because it's only a week old now. So the hops are definitely a little more in there. They'll settle out a little bit, and we definitely, with our Russian Imperial Stout, we like to go more on the chocolatey side, a little hoppy side, but a little less of that harsh roastiness.
I'm convinced that everything in my life is now going to be better because I've had this.
So I'm enjoying it. It's good. This is the first time I'm having it right now, actually. So,
Brian, what do you think about this beer? I like to hear what your feedback is on it. You're the disco guy too.
Brian comes with his own theme music.
Exactly. Yes. His own disco
ringtone. It comes from my background as a DJ. It's great. I'm normally not. Paul knows very well from many years we've been friends that I'm not a big beer fan, especially Imperial Stouts. Not my thing. But that's one of the reasons why Paul was the only other homebrewer that I would collaborate with back then, is because he managed to get me to enjoy beers that I normally didn't enjoy. So that, and he still continues to do
you
that.
You know, one time we hosted an event called New York City Brewer's Choice, and you had Paul stand in for you, and he actually showed up with a shaved head. And everyone said that he was Brian Strunke. And that's why I want everyone, if you go to the Twitter, check out @yayman@beer_sessions, because you got to see the picture that Paul and Brian, they don't really look alike, but with a shaved head, they might look alike. And if you're in the beer scene, you've met them both. And we've had a number of events. A couple years ago, we did an event, Battle of the Belgians, and both Brian and Paul were there. Yeah. So the reason I'm drawing on this is I'm trying to give you guys Spider Bite some cred, because everyone's talked a lot about Brian Strumke and the Stillwater beers. And I'm just saying that because you have Paul, then it's like, you know, a special relationship. I'm like, wow, if Paul's on board with you, then you know something about beer. And I'm trying to play on that a little bit in the show today. So when you started working with Paul, like what brought you guys together?
Well, we definitely liked the same type of beers, same styles, and so that's why we started homebrewing together as well.
Yeah.
We do it, you know, back at our place and in his parents' basement, because he lives, you know, in New Jersey, so he'd come back to Long Island, and we were brewing quite a lot. So once we formed the company, we wanted you know, Paul to come aboard.
And it's funny, we met the same way I met Stillwater in Baltimore, had a random bar. I met Larry at another beer tasting down in Atlanta. From then, when Larry moved back up, we just started to homebrew together since we live pretty close. And same thing, like Larry and Brian both had probably even more background with beer than I did. Larry's been homebrewing for probably over 20 years now. And studied at Brewers Guild and Pete's Port, Lost Abbey with Tommy. So.
Nice.
I mean, he's got a lot of experience making some really good
beers. Yeah, I saw that. So what is American Brewers Guild? That's one place you studied.
Right.
I've never heard of it.
They're out of Vermont, so they do you could do either home-based and then go up. At the time, it was out of Otter Creek, so you would go up to Otter Creek for the last week and do all your analysis, lab work, you know, brewing on the full system. And then they set up an internship, so that's when I went out to San Diego and to Lost Abbey Pizza Port.
Lost Abbey Pizza Port. Amazing stuff.
You guys have covered it, Jimmy and Squiggs. You've been out there.
Squiggs is actually covered. He's actually from out there.
Right. Oh, no, I spent quite a bit of time out in California, and Lost Abbey is fantastic stuff. The first of all, Pizza Port's kind of port brewing came from Pizza Port, with there are, I think, now four Pizza Port restaurants. Pizza you know, of course, in there. But also, each one has their own individual brewmaster. They brew stuff that is released through Pizza Port or Port Brewing Lost Abbey. Lost Abbey is an old the Stone's old facility there in San Marcos, California, doing just fantastic, fantastic work. I mean, you've seen a lot of their stuff, a lot of Belgian style, you know, good dark, heavy ales and fun light farmhouse saisons and some great stuff. But yeah, Lost Abbey, fantastic.
San Diego's a pretty amazing beer town.
It's like beer Disneyland. It's like
we got to get down there.
It's seriously like a wonderland of craft beering.
Happen. I think the Happy Hour guys, it's funny because the Happy Hour guys, we don't have a lot of, you know, obviously we're based in New York, so we have a lot of heavy duty East Coast content. We have a lot of Colorado content because you know this, Jimmy, but the hook of the show is that we're all actors, right? So if we have a job, if we have a gig somewhere as actors, then, you know, on our nights off or on our days off before we do the show, hopefully we don't get too, you know, sloppy before we actually act, but we go and cover, you know.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah, exactly. We go and cover great bars and great craft and, so, but one of the areas that we really haven't hit very hard is California. A lot of the West Coast. Even though I spent 3 years in Seattle, and we got to hit San Diego. We got to hit L.A. is up and coming. I mean, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on the West Coast, NorCal, and obviously Oregon and everything else.
Yeah,
no, that's awesome. Hey, we're gonna take a short break. We'll talk more about all good things in beer on Beer Sessions Radio.
All right, we'll come right back.
Nice.
Let's do it.
Hello.
Hey. Woo-hoo. Jimmy.
What's up?
Hey, welcome back.
Thanks.
Beer Sessions Radio.
Hey, I got a question for you, Jimmy.
What, buddy?
You know that...
We're on the Heritage Radio Network.
Oh, I love the Heritage
And we're sponsored
Radio
by GreatBrewers.com.
Those guys are awesome.
You guys are both named Jimmy.
It's so cool. Jimmy and Jimmy.
Yeah, man. Question for you. So you know that at thehappyhourguys.com or happyhourguys.com, we have a television show or a show on the internet about beer and craft and great places to drink it. I want to open this up to the room, and I know we got other things to talk about, but quick, because we're looking at maybe doing a show on a major network about craft beer. What would you guys want to see? What would make you watch a show about craft beer?
I like that.
Because, you know, like the Discovery Channel tried it, and obviously it didn't work out so well. You know, everybody's trying this formula, but nobody's found the, like, I mean, what do you want to see? As beer fans and people that love beer, if you turned on your TV and was like, oh my God, it's a show about craft beer, what would you want to see?
Ask Brian. Brian Strumke, what would you want to see in a TV show? Or do you not watch TV?
I don't watch TV. That's my biggest problem. But I was offered a television show about a year ago, and it's still on the table, and that's the reason why I haven't gone forward with it. I'm not really an actor, and they wanted to make a show about beer, and I really didn't know how to put that together without it sounding
like
a disaster.
So you need some actors to be part of the show.
Well, we're right here.
Like
right
Jimmy here. Ludwig.
Yeah, we'll take care of that for
we're
you.
We're shameless.
All right. Now,
no shame.
Larry, what would you want to see in a beer TV show?
I like to see the facilities, you know, when they go to each place. I mean, I watched all the shows, so I don't know why they took them off. I was happy with
you like, you like the Sam Colagione show.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that people who really like beer liked it.
The thing that we found that was a little weird was, I mean, like when we shoot a brewery, every time we talk to producers and TV people, they say, oh, we've got it. It's got to be about the process. And what we find is that, as you guys know, the process of brewing beer is essentially, it all happens behind a steel wall most of the time.
It's very technical.
It's very technical. It's not, there isn't a lot of built-in drama there. You know, like where we find the great drama is looking at the facilities, but telling the stories of the people. Like what Jimmy was doing with you guys just a minute ago. Like, how did you meet? You know, tell us this crazy story of how you got all this going. Because that's the, like, death-defying leaps. You guys have to take a leap to, like, start a business. I mean, that's huge.
Exactly, and so many of these of the beer that we know in the craft world is created from someone who started brewing in their basement and something that they liked and something that they shared with their friends, something that's made from local ingredients, local water, and has something very special. special in that community, and they've like kind of blossomed because it's local. It's and it's of the people that they know, and it's for the people that they know. I think that
sounds like you guys are the right guys for the TV show. Rev, what are you going to say?
I've actually done 9 different reality TV shows, including CBS's Big Brother.
Nice!
All because people like
to... I rooted for you.
Thank you. All because of my ridiculous burger blog at burgerconquest.com. But I think what it comes down to is like, we've all either made beer, watched beer be made, or we've been to this brewery, and we might all get off on that. But you know, at the end of the day, brewing and breweries are all the same. It's right. just like a process and this ingredients and the personality. I think... for that show to like make it, it is. It's about the person, you know, like Honey Boo Boo. Why do people watch that? Because their mind is blown with this person.
Oh, right? My
it's
gosh.
Terrible, yeah. But it's they're enthralled terrible. By the drama. And so, like, for me, I want to watch a beer TV show that tells the story. You know, like the two guys from Two Brothers, their father gave them a milk farm, said, hey, I don't want to do this anymore. And they said, screw it, we're going to make beer instead. And
well,
like,
that's a good
like,
story.
Like, that's a great story.
Well, let's do this. Let's enough about TV, let's talk about stories. That's a good story. Who else has a good beer story? All right, Larry. what were you doing in Atlanta, and what's the Atlantic beer scene like? Atlanta beer scene.
The beer scene was great. I mean, there was a lot of craft beer. It was just that at the time there weren't too many, you know, breweries or brew pubs, and the whole distribution thing made it difficult. And at the time, I actually I'm a chiropractor, and I had my own practice for 10 years, and then. We decided that it would just be better to come back up north and sold the practice, and we came back.
All right. And what's the next beer that we're drinking now?
Jimmy brought this.
I did a little trip out to Michigan. The Happy Hour guys were in Michigan.
Wait, but first we have the other Spider Bite.
Oh, yeah, the other
Spider Bite. Paul, what did you pour for
even,
us?
I didn't even pour that one.
Somebody poured it. This is it?
I poured it for you, yeah.
I think we've just had the Boris Russian Imperial Stout.
Yeah, and now actually I just poured IPA. For Jimmy and Stillwater, I poured the rye IPA. We call it 8-legged Ooh, rye IPA.
We should try some of that.
That's
so
one we've
where
been
did you bring this from? You're bringing a growler of your beer.
Right. Yeah.
And where do you fill the growler?
On Long Island, Holbrook.
Yeah. Like you
Larry
have,
just filled it right yeah, from the keg right out from the, at the brewery.
So you have a keg cooler there, and you were able to pour fresh, growlers. Yeah. All
right. Right. This is actually one that we started earlier this summer.
So even though, this is another question about your beer. So you have it brewed in Cooperstown. Mm-hmm. Then I know that you guys self-deliver to me. In right. New York.
Yeah, we have
so you have the keg shipped to you in Long right. Island?
Yeah, we have 1,500 square feet and a walk-in, and everything's there.
There's hoppiness going on here.
Yeah, we're basically filling growlers only for ourselves. We have a tasting room. We're just not allowed to use it yet. We need another permit for that, and hopefully in another few months we'll have that going.
They're gypsy brewers as well.
Just like you guys.
I thought the correct term was ninja brewers.
But Brian, you don't deal with any distribution, do you?
But my business partner does.
Yeah.
So, I mean, me and Brian Ewing are one and the same. I mean, Stillwater is 12% in Stillwater, like, you know, intertwined. So he handles all. They basically... there's a very similar relationship that these two guys have. It's like Paul's kind of like a creative assistant and marketing, and just, you know, it takes two sides, but yeah, it's the same operation. It's worth having. You have to have storage and warehouse and distribution.
So when you started, I didn't know that. I know that 12% Brian Ewing had distributed you. I didn't know that. You guys were partners. So how did it start? Did you start independently of Brian?
Well,
and you joined forces? Or?
I met Brian. Brian was brought to my house one day when Paul was visiting, and we were partying in my house. Like we're getting ready to go on like a vacation, and Brian shows up with a friend of mine, and he's like, "Oh, I want this guy to taste your homebrew," and we were just hanging out, and I think we even had one of the batches of beer that Paul and I brewed together. So Brian tasted all these beers, and
it's a rye pale ale or a rye IPA.
This
Paul?
Is rye IPA. It's about. I
have a little more. We have a keg at Jimmy's number 43. It's going to go on this weekend too. No, so
it's fantastic. It's and you know, rye I think is kind of. It pairs so well with food. I mean, it's like you have a burger, you want to pair a rye beer with it. I think it's really, really pretty brilliant. You get the hops there. It's a really easy drinking beer, but it's got some that nice rye spiciness. Really great.
Rev, at Idle Hands, have you had any Spider Bite yet?
No, and it's funny because we've been dancing with these guys for a minute about doing it. And honestly, we have six taps, so I just don't have the ability to get flexible. What I keep saying is, like, let's taste a couple and then come in and then taste my crowd. And so we realized real quickly at Idle Hands that it's better for us to be the on-ramp for craft brew. For like people really want to have an intense evening with beer. They're going to Jimmy's. They're going to the Tiger. They're going to these other places.
Right.
I don't want to compete with that. I love those places. Mm-hmm. But there are people that are a little intimidated by beer. So we created these $10 tastings, and I've invited the Spider Guys guy. Let's taste some. Actually, I walked in today. They said, okay, now you've tasted it. Can we do one?
Yeah. Absolutely. I think it was just 2 weeks ago, and I was coming to the city. I'm like, Rev, can I sell you some beer? He's like, I don't know, I haven't had it yet. I need to taste it first. And I was like, and then you walked in today, and I was like, oh, this is perfect. I got samples
owning,
right here.
Owning a bar is a little egotistical. Yeah. You walk in the bar, you're tasting what I like or I think is good. I've decided that.
But you also have like a huge bourbon selection, don't you?
It's funny because we are a good beer seal bar, and we do these really community-oriented beer tastings, but we're more of a bourbon bar. We have the largest selection of bourbon in all of New York City.
Even more than DBA in the East Village?
Yes, definitely.
So who's the bourbon guy?
Rob, who is not with us today. Rob is our spirits expert and our bourbon buyer, and I'm the beer dude.
He's good.
I've gotten to a point with Rob now where I walk in and I won't say, like, I want something spicy or sweet. I'll tell him, like, what mood I'm in, or I'll pick, like, three random artifacts, and I'll be like, okay, a toilet plunger, a blue elephant, and the Bible. And he'll be like, you need this one. Like, he's
that I've good. Got ennui.
Well, this is so, I love this show. It's like the creative guys and the beer guys. It's so cool. Who's an actor? Raise your hand.
The beer guys right are creative. Oh, it's everybody. So we're not going to take the creative away from the beer guys.
Who are the creative guys?
Yeah, I was going to say.
It's all of us, man.
I think if you
pointed, I'm not acting.
If you pointed at the quote-unquote actor side of the room and said, who are the most creative people in the room, we'd all point at the brewers.
Yeah, because, it's true, because,
you guys are the ones
I'm
that
not a brewer anyway.
So we get their craft.
Make liquid magic.
Yeah.
And my reply would be, I like beer.
I like beer.
That was our theme song, but we've had to change.
I like beer.
It's a legitimate network now.
Jimmy, I have a great craft beer story.
Tell us, Jimmy.
This is actually going to be, thank you. This is actually going to be part of the Happy Hour Guys that's coming up. But
Wait, Jimmy, when your TV show starts, are you going to be known as Jimmy? Or Jimmy Ludwig?
I don't know.
Because we got to talk about that.
We do have to talk about that. And I think I'm going to be Jimmy Ludwig because I wouldn't want to take Jimmy away from
you. Okay, Jimmy Pots Carbone. And Pans. What would Jimmy's like? Action figure.
Jimmy runs and drinks.
Yes, Jimmy runs and drinks. That's what it would be.
Jimmy runs like marathons.
The Jimmy Ludwig, yes, the marathon runner. The Jimmy Pots and Pans.
Exactly.
Here is the,
Jimmy Shoes and Pints.
For the late like night beer drinker.
Shoes
yeah.
and Pints. I like that.
Jimmy Shoes and Pints.
I second and veto that anybody doesn't third.
All right. What's your beer story?
Here's a great beer story, and that is that you guys all know, and I don't want to take it away from the great brewers that are in the room, but it's a great story for us at this moment just because a couple of weeks ago we got an email from Al Gore's Climate Reality Project. And they're doing a feature. I don't know if you know this place, but it's just look it up, Climate Reality Project, and they do videos about what's happening with climate change. And
he had a big climate change initiative in California about a month ago.
Exactly.
Did you go to that? Getting
no,
serious.
We weren't able to go.
I have friends that went to it. The wild food gatherers from Vermont. So I know all about it.
It's all of a piece. We're all trying to create really great stuff and talk about really great stuff. And climate is a huge factor. And we were talking. They were featuring Vermont and everything that happened from Hurricane Irene a couple of years ago or a year and a half ago. And we had done a piece on The Alchemist, which is up in Waterbury. Mm-hmm. And we happened to shoot about 6 weeks before the hurricane hit. And while we were shooting, John Kimmick, we asked him about the history of the building, and he pointed towards where the flood in like 1923 had gone up to. And they're like, wow, that's terrible. He's like, yeah, but I have this high-priced flood insurance. Everything's fine. 6 weeks later, he gets drowned and loses everything because his flood insurance didn't cover what was in his basement, which was his entire brewery inventory. But you guys know the end of the story. I'll let you finish it.
No, you finished, Jim.
All right. No, he had just opened his cannery 2 weeks before. 2 weeks before the hurricane hit. So anyway, our footage on that.
But now his old brewery is now Prohibition Pig.
Prohibition Pig.
And Brian, you've been up there too. Yeah. And one thing I want. This is. It starts about Spider Bite, but it's also about Brian Strumpke because you've really been such a player in the industry now. Come on, player.
Player.
DJ.
Player.
So you go everywhere. This guy goes. He goes to Vermont. He goes to Belgium. Yeah, what's so you went up to Vermont and what have you been to Prohibition?
Prohibition. I mean, that's my friend Chad's new endeavor. He had that idea for a long time, and it serendipitous, kind of all fell in the place. What after the flood and when the brewery was destroyed, and he kind of came in with this barbecue and beer and cocktail venture, and it's doing really well. He's also connected to Paul and I.
And do you sell with Stillwater? So do you sell in Vermont?
Yeah, yeah. So
you're distributed up there. Is the distributor up there Sean Hill? Does he distribute
beer?
Yeah,
I guess you, Sean.
It's wild stories. There's so much more to learn about. Quick thing, we just opened the Founders Frangelic Mountain.
Yeah.
I like it a lot. It's kind of chocolatey.
Yeah.
I want to ask the brewers, actually. Paul, have you tried the Frangelic Mountain?
Yeah, I just had some, actually. It's definitely got a lot of that hazelnut thing going on, the hazelnut coffee that they use in there.
Okay, is it too much hazelnut?
Maybe not too much. It's definitely noticeable.
It's a good. It's like a dessert beer almost, isn't it?
It's drinkable. It's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Founders. I like almost everything they make, so.
You know, it's also a fresh hop harvest season coming up, too.
Yes. Yeah.
And they really do. I think Founders is one of my favorite fresh hop beers.
Yeah.
But hey, we're going to take one more short break. We'll be back in a few minutes here on Beer Sessions Radio.
Okay, sounds good.
You're listening to Nature's Wrath by the Budo Spin on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio. Jimmy.
Yes, sir.
Hey, we're on the Heritage Radio Network. We're out here at Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn.
Where life
we're
is hanging beautiful. Out.
We got a, I got a full... Jimmy, who's in the room with us tonight?
Oh, dude, you're going to make me actually
you
got to
go through it. Do you know everybody's name,
he's
Jimmy?
He's been drinking.
I've been drinking. Okay.
That's Jimmy.
Exactly.
Jimmy.
It's there. Everybody here is named Jimmy.
Jimmy, including me. Goose,
and there's
Jimmy,
Squiggs
Jimmy.
Robertson.
We got Rev. We got Squiggs.
You got the last name right.
Because you told me.
That's it. I'm handing it off. I go as far as... I'm handing it off to Rev.
Rev, what did you say? So we're drinking Founders Frangelic Mountain. What did you say about it?
He was going to cuss.
I was going to curse, and I wasn't sure, and I didn't want to interrupt anybody, but I took a sip, and literally the nonverbal cue I gave the room was, fuck me running. I couldn't believe it. It's chocolatey, like a Swiss hot chocolate, but it's got like some great malt profile to it. It's fucking awesome.
As Squig said, it's hazelnut.
Yeah, it's a lot of hazelnut.
And it's good, but it's also like, it's like a dessert beer, and you know what? That fits me. Let's talk about holiday beers, because you guys are making beer.
Oh, gosh.
Love holiday beers.
Well, I have to say that I actually don't like holiday beers. What I think is that...
holiday beer.
That is my absolute favorite style of beer is winter.
All right, you guys, grow up soon, and we'll talk about beer. All right.
Okay.
Oh, snap.
Holiday beer is like this. It's like there's so many really good winter style beers. Let's start with porter. Let's start with like stronger Belgian ales. There's so many good beers that you want to drink in winter. But why is everybody making a
Two
specific...
Two brothers,
North winds. Yeah. Why is everybody making a specific holiday style when there's so many traditional styles that nobody's even getting? Like, I want a porter, and I actually have customers asking me. A couple years ago, customers would say, why don't you have sour beers? And you know what? We started doing sour events, and then everybody was making wild yeast and sour beers. So people are on the cusp of the trend. You know, holiday beers, I don't just need like flavors and you know, holiday cheer. There's so many traditional styles of beer that fit the winter and the fall, and yet hardly anybody's making a good porter, which is what I want to drink right now. Mm. So of the brewers, Paul, Larry, and Brian, who wants to talk about this? Because I don't know if you have anything. Like the Boris Spider, this Imperial Stout, to me, that's a really good fall and winter beer.
Fantastic.
I would rather drink that than a special holiday beer.
The problem is, it's like, then why call it a holiday beer? Because you're taking a gamble in the beer business. If you call something a Christmas beer or an Oktoberfest, there's a certain... like date when like nobody's gonna buy that, so you have to really balance out like how you're gonna produce like the correct amount to gauge that it's just has a limited span.
I don't think you make an Oktoberfest beer, do you?
I don't. I make a beer called Autumnal, but it's a beer. But because that's the closest thing I do to any like seasonally specific like branded beer, that is the lowest seller. And it's great. I wouldn't say like quality wise it should be that, but I think it's the marketing aspect, because it's autumnal. Who wants to drink an autumn beer in December.
I just want to say that for you guys, there's some rebellious shit happening over here on the creative side of the table, and it's all Rev. It's Rev's fault.
Creative. What are you pouring, Rev?
I am making a beer cocktail, as I like to call this beer porn. So I've taken a Breckenridge Vanilla Porter, which I think is a fantastic porter, and it's really easy to drink. It's a great dessert beer. And I'm mixing it with a Smutty Nose Pumpkin.
Ooh. All right, let's try that. No, going back to the first thing. No. So, Larry, what do you think about seasonal beers or holiday beers? You know, you guys, like I said, I'm giving you compliments about, so you know, your Imperial Stout.
We do more seasonal. Like, so we have the stout that came out as the weather gets cold. And as we turn to spring, we have a Scotch Ale. But I'm not a big fan of the winter beers or the beers with all the spices. Even the pumpkins, not a big fan. We finally did one for a charity event for this Halloween, but otherwise I'm not a big fan.
What I'm trying to say is there's so many great traditional styles, like even about this quadruples, you know, there's stouts, there's port, there's so many beers that are like fall winter beers, and I don't think most people don't get a chance to try them, you know?
Sorry, Jimmy. Rev and I just tried the beer cocktail and we have something to say.
Fuck me running.
Oh, geez. We like it a lot.
It's just flavors.
Oh, these guys over here on the right side of the room.
So what are you like? Trying to get the F-bombs out before you get the TV. Yeah. No.
But, by the way, regarding seasonal ales, it's like, you know, you get through the summer, you get through, you know, your saisons, your lighter beers. You get to the pumpkin beers. The pumpkin like hits like an avalanche when it comes to the fall. And you know, I think everyone has if they remotely like pumpkin beers, they have their favorites. You get into the Oktoberfest beers. Okay, you get into the heavier
Imperial pumpkin.
Imperial pumpkin. Southern Tier Pumpkin is like, I think it tends to be the,
it's like drinking, you know, pie.
Oh, it's like drinking pie. But it's like, you know, you kind of you have to drink more, I think.
Okay. Oh. So you blended the vanilla with the pumpkin.
This is called a Halloweeny, by the way.
And do you serve this at Idle Hands, Rev?
No, this is actually a cocktail that I make for the food porn event at the Food Film Festival. So it's Saturday, October 20th, not to get into that.
This is pretty fun. I would be happy to get this at a New York City Food Film Festival event.
And Rev, you got something coming up that features, I believe, a chip cheese confection. Is that right?
Oh, well, you're jumping events. So.
I am. I'm sorry.
Jump ahead. Go for it, Rev. So you're part of Get Real. Get Real does some cool New York City beer events.
Yeah, you know what? Let me grab my notes because it's a little intense. But on October 27, at the Alewife in Long Island City, which, by the way, if you haven't been to, is one of the best beer halls in New York City. The selection there is sick. And Patrick and Daniel, who own it, really, really know their way around a beer. We are doing New York City's first ever Nacho and Craft Beer Festival. Ideas, we're going to have about 30 different beers from some really great breweries. We're doing De La Seine. We have some Stillwaters coming, Single Cut from Queens, some Barriers, really, really good beers. And then we're doing like a Chipotle, you know, the restaurant style beer food bar where you walk up and say, I want that protein, I want that cheese, I want that whatever. But we're not doing like guacamole, lettuce, salsa, you know, we're not doing that. We're doing like pale ale potato chips, dry stout chili and beef, Danish blue cheese crumbles. We have cognac date almond salsa, beer caramelized onions, like everything. It's very gastro oriented type of nachos. There's gonna be some smoked mac and cheese. Like, you want to jack your palate a little, this is the event to do it at.
You had me at cognac date almond salsa.
But that's October 27, and it's nachofestival.eventbrite.com.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Gentlemen, back to beer. So
I said we have 28 beers we're pouring.
Paul. Okay. Is there beer porn in your life?
Beer porn? Yeah, well, I mean, I got a pretty good beer cellar back at my place.
Yeah.
They have a huge rack of, like, a couple, 600
different. I guess it depends on what turns you on.
Yeah.
So, like, what are some beers that are in your cellar?
Well,
like
I have a pretty good cellar full of, like, some really old good lambics from Belgium that I think are
lambics,
probably my prized possessions, I guess. Guys from 20 years ago.
Like, what? Are the
A lot of old Cantillons from 20 years ago, old Drefontinens from, you know, mid to late 1990s, things like that. So those are probably the best ones I've got.
Wow.
You had me at huge rack.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, boys. But, I mean, Paul, I want to call you out tonight because, you know, you're part of Spiderbite and you work with Stillwater, but, you know, and to give credit to Larry for working with you at Spiderbite, but you really are one of the, like, more informed, you know, brewers out there and beer guys. And right, and thanks. No, I mean, you're associating the right guys, but yeah. Tell us more about your beer rack at home. I mean, come on. Are we going to do an event where you pull out your beers? I mean, let's talk about your beer rack.
Why don't you pull out your beer rack?
At your place. I was thinking of doing like an Imperial Stout tasting sometime this winter. I've got probably a few hundred different bottles of Imperial Stouts I got to get rid of.
I think I'll talk for Paul. Paul's the man. Like, there's not a person I know in my life at all that has ever not liked Paul. Like, he's just one of those, like, he's got a gift. He's like, he's really good with people. He knows, he's more devoted to beer than anybody I've ever known. And he's just like, just pure passion and pure, you know, he does things for the right reasons. And that's why he's kind of, he's become like integral in a lot of upcoming success stories. So it's about time that he gets his,
absolutely.
Rise to fame.
I mean, it's people like that that from what we found with our show, it's people like that that sort of bind the community together, you know. And the craft community is just it's an awesome group of people, you know. I mean, Jimmy, it goes from Jimmy Carbone to, you know, to you guys. And it's all over the country, you know. And it is a huge family. We love that, and that's one of the things we love to show. We love to feature on our show. It's a blast. Find people like that who really influence things. And
what are you guys pouring right now? Squigs.
Oh, this is from Alpine, out in Alpine, California, 20 miles east of San Diego. This is I think they call it a triple IPA. At least it's an Imperial.
I didn't know that was a style, actually.
I know. It's an Imperial IPA.
I can't wait for the quads to come.
Yeah, right. And evidently, each hop addition is double what the previous amount was. And then in the hop back, there's even more hops, and then there's two dry hop additions.
So Alpine.
What's it actually called?
It's called Exponential Hoppiness from Alpine.
Okay, let's go back a couple of segments ago. Larry told us that he had done some time out in Tommy Arthur, T-O-M-M-E, I always call him Tommy, Tom Arthur's place in Lost Abbey. You know, you got a little exposure to the West Coast culture. Just tell us for a few minutes about what that was like, and you come from the East Coast, anything you learned there as part of your training.
Hoppy beers were always my favorite, so when they asked where I'd like to go for the internship, every place I chose was out in California, and so it was great to get hooked up with Tommy. And, you know, I spent 6 weeks out there, and we traveled everywhere, you know, just trying every beer out there, all the different places, even. And I finished up my internship up in San Francisco.
So you started at Lost Abbey, and then you worked at different places?
No, I only worked at Lost Abbey, but I tried to get around to as many different places as possible just to try.
So on your own, you traveled?
Right.
And what were some other places that you visited besides Lost Abbey?
Well, definitely been to Alpine and Stone, Alesmith.
Yeah,
just a lot. Alesmith
is such a cool place. I mean, have you ever been to Alesmith with Happy Hour guys?
We have not, but actually, Squiggs has been out there and done some research for us and getting us ready to shoot out there. So, I mean,
yeah. Alesmith in San Diego. Researching. Do you know Brian? Yeah. Well, Brian, have you been there? Do you know the beers?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, Alpine. Yeah,
Alpine, know, but in,
Alpine, but
Alesmith.
Alesmith.
In San Diego.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, there's cool stuff.
One of my favorite things about doing our show is that research is just so much fun. You know, people always put quotes around it. Like, what are you doing? I'm having a beer. Oh, that's research. Quotes. I love that. Love it.
I mean, San Diego is definitely a crazy hotspot. Stone is awesome. Really spearheading it. They're building. That's the place I consider Disneyland because it's exactly. Like they have the gardens and they're building a boutique World hotel,
yeah,
like right across the street, and they're expanding like exponentially.
It's crazy out there.
It's wild.
That's a great question. We can go around the room, but what would be you saying that's your Disneyland, right? What's everybody's Disneyland of beer?
Ooh, yeah, nice.
All right, so Brian, you said that?
I just said that's the quintessential Disneyland because it's kind of set up like an amusement park. It looks and feels.
Good. Wait, Larry, what's your Disneyland of beer?
It's probably the same thing. I mean, I've spent 10, 11
Name a place,
hours.
One place.
Stone.
Paul?
For me, we always do American beers, but my heart and passion is in German beers, so I would say like all of Franconia, like Bamberg area of Germany.
Squigs?
Oh, you know, I think we've gone with Stone, but all of San Diego. There's some amazing, great stuff going on in San Diego. Hess is a new nano brewery that's going on in San Diego. It's fantastic. But
Squigs, you know, we're going to start asking you to make some sketches of brewers and breweries because okay. We know you do it on Broadway.com for
all right.
Theater.
All right, we'll,
you're awesome.
We'll do some doodle.
Rev your beer. Disneyland.
I mean, listen, let's be honest. Local beers are awesome, so New York is great. But
New York.
Outside of where we are now, anybody that didn't answer Michigan either hasn't been there or is a liar. Yes.
And which breweries? Which breweries?
Jimmy is from Michigan.
Wait, so Rev, which breweries in Michigan?
All of them. Dark Horse, Founders, Shorts. Arcadia, Shorts,
Bells.
Bells. I mean, there's so many great beers. The NBC.
Hop,
even that Kid Rock beer, John like Hopkins. You want a dog,
Jimmy,
but it's pretty good.
You're so. Disneyland of beer.
By the way, I've been to Bells and I've been to the secret room that is full of nothing but Hops for special visitors.
Oh, Jimmy.
Are you guys Michigan guys?
Yeah.
You're bonding over there? Right. And I have to join in because I'll agree with Paul. For me, it's Bamberg and Franconia. Like, that's a place.
I haven't given you my Disneyland yet.
Oh, I thought you said Michigan.
No. Well, Michigan, of course, but my Disneyland in New York is Jimmy's number 43.
Oh.
Thank you, bro.
How about that?
Well, you know what? It's a little different every week. That's all I can tell you. Okay, now we're going to wrap it up, but first we'll talk about some events. First, we're going to give a shout-out. Beer Sessions Radio is now on Stitcher. Has everyone heard of Stitcher?
No, talk about it.
Stitcher.com, it's aggregating a bunch of popular, you know, online podcasts. Even though we're really radio, we're called a podcast. And if you haven't heard of Stitcher, it's a great way to get your favorite radio on demand. All right, so help out your favorite beer show and nominate Beer Sessions Radio for a 2012 Best Food and Cooking Stitcher Award. I don't know how to do it, but I guess if you go to our Facebook page, Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network, you can learn more about it. And special events. A Cider Week in New York is coming October 12th to 21st. You can check it out. And Beer Sessions Radio is co-producing the Cider Week Cook-Off this Saturday, October 13th. Go to goodbeerseal.com to learn more about it. We've got Greg Hall, who is the Goose Island Brewer. Now he's Virtue Cider. He's going to do, with our coaching, because he needs our coaching, yes. He's going to do a special tasting where he tastes Virtue Cider with Oliver's Ciders from England. And Etienne Dupont from France with some cheese pairings. That's going to be awesome. And Steve Wood from Farnham Hill Cider, who's the best American cider maker. They'll be there and everything else. So goodbristol.com. Trust me, for $20, it's probably the best event in New York and the best deal you'll ever get in New York. And it's a kickoff for Cider Week. Woo. And our friends at October 27th, another great ongoing, really New York event. It's the Brooklyn Wart. It's like the third or fourth year already, October 27th. Go to brooklynwart.com. And for more information, always go to goodbristol.com. Rev, you covered your events. You got New York City Food Film Fest.
We got the Food Film Fest. That's the 17th to the 21st.
And you got the Get Real Nachos event.
Nachos Fest. And this week at Idle Hands Bar is our All-American Oktoberfest. We do not celebrate German beers. Not that we don't like them. We love them.
You will not enjoy our beers.
Yes, we do like Zibio.
But one thing about Oktoberfest, technically Oktoberfest is like the end of September to like October 7th right.
That's
or 8th.
That's why we wait till the first week of October to do the All-American Oktoberfest.
All right, I hate to hijack this, but my last name is Ludwig, and Oktoberfest is based on the marriage celebration of a relative of mine. I just want to. Not as an actual blood relative.
Wow. Okay, give
Mad
the
King
mic
Ludwig.
Back to Rev.
King Ludwig.
Are you also insane?
And I guess
you need to ask.
You know what? Sadly, we're wrapping up the show, but thank you to our sponsors at greatbrewers.com and to the Good Brew Seal, goodbrewseal.com, Idle Hands, Jimmy's number 43. All happy to be members of that.
Amen.
Thanks to it. Let's go through the list. We got Larry, put your hands up. Larry, Paul, Jimmy Ludwig, Justin Squiggs, Dave, and Brian Strumke, our special guest, for joining me here on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni. Thanks to our producers, Jack Inslee and Brie O'Connor, and engineer Joe Galarraga in the booth doing all the work. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on Beer Sessions Radio.
Woo! I like beer. Yeah. You don't say Sessions Radio in your life.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.